Well, the other day we had Joshua Yoder of U.S. Freedom Flyers on the show to talk about Captain Snow, the vaccinated pilot whose heart stopped just moments after landing his plane with more than 200 souls on board, an Airbus. It was an American Airlines flight. This is just the latest reminder of one of the most dangerous impacts of these forced jabs, which is that they can destroy the health of our pilots. Obviously, this puts hundreds of lives at risk on our commercial flights all at one time, but it also puts our national security at risk by endangering the readiness of our hundreds of U.S. military pilots. Teresa Long is a lieutenant colonel in the Army, currently on approved leave. She's eminently qualified to opine on medical questions as an experienced flight surgeon. She recently was subpoenaed to testify in the court of Navy SEAL 1 v. Biden, challenging the order blocking unvaxxed troops from deployment and then kicking them out of the military. Last fall, she testified at a vaccine side effects roundtable hosted by Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin. You may remember even earlier, all the way back in September, that she gave a sworn affidavit about the impacts of vaccines that she had seen among the Army soldiers that she was responsible for treating. That's her job. We want to quote some portions of that affidavit. Quote, "I personally observed the most physically fit female soldier I have seen in over 20 years in the Army go from collegiate level athlete training for Ranger School to being physically debilitated with cardiac problems, a newly diagnosed pituitary brain tumor, thyroid dysfunction within weeks of getting vaccinated. Several military physicians have shared with me their firsthand experience with a significant increase in the number of young soldiers with migraines, menstrual irregularities, cancer, suspected myocarditis, and reporting cardiac symptoms after being jabbed. Numerous soldiers and DOD civilians have told me how sick they were, bedridden, debilitated, and unable to work for days or even weeks after vaccination," unquote. I replaced the word vaccine with jab. Ever since that affidavit was filed, we've been hoping to speak with Lieutenant Colonel Long, and now it's finally happening, and she joins us now. So thank you so much for being here. I mean, you called all of this. Were you right then, or have you been proven wrong?
Well, thank you, Stu, for having me today. And you know, I have to put out the disclaimer that nothing I say today is a reflection of the DOD or any entity thereof, the Army or anything.
Of course.
So, tragically, people did not listen early on when we started raising the alarm bells on circumventing all of the established safety procedures we have, both in medicine and in the FAA, in terms of not using experimental drugs on pilots or letting pilots fly with drugs that we have very little safety data on that haven't been approved from the FDA for over a year. And that's what happened here. As you know, all of the COVID vaccines that are out are EUA. There is not a single vial of approved vaccine available to the general public. Therefore, all of the pilots flying that are vaccinated would have to be vaccinated with an EUA drug, which has not been approved. And so this is where we're at.
Yeah,
now, I mean, we're going to see the repercussions of that.
It's concerning. And you've seen the repercussions firsthand. And you went and testified before Senator Johnson's roundtable. Why isn't this causing an immediate stop in these mandates? Why is the DOD continuously still forcing this on people that are in the peak of their physical condition and that are supposed to serve our country in combat?
It's truly mind-blowing. COVID posed extremely low threat to the armed forces, and in court testimony, Even the Defense Health Agency experts testified that we had only had 23 active duty soldiers who died of COVID and 93 total service members across all components and branches from the beginning of COVID until now, 93. And although that's very tragic, you have to put that into perspective and think about the things that kill soldiers. Suicide is huge. And far overshadowing any effect that COVID had on us. Suicide, car accidents, motorcycle accidents, all of those things have killed more soldiers than COVID. But the focus is on making them take a vaccine that does not stop transmission and it does not stop infection. So we've seen that. It's been proven that it does not decrease transmission. It does not prevent you from getting the infection. So when we started seeing huge numbers of soldiers who were fully vaccinated getting COVID anyways, one should have said, why would we kick soldiers out for a product that doesn't even work?
So when you were at Senator Johnson's roundtable, you were sitting alongside Thomas Renz, you dropped some pretty staggering figures. So you have actual data. This is your job, to look for this data. That's what you do. You treat soldiers. You look after their health. That is your job. Is that right? Isn't that your job?
Yes, it is.
And isn't it part of your job to study data and trends to figure out how to effectively treat your soldiers and to keep them healthy?
Yes.
And so when you were studying this data, you found some pretty shocking things. I want you to tell us about this.
Well, I had tried many times and in many different venues to get access to information as to what kind of negative impact the vaccines were having across the armed forces and how many adverse reactions were we seeing. And as you'll recall, it was the military that actually came out with the first paper discussing how myocarditis was seen in recruits. But there was no follow-up paper. There's no follow-up research. We've identified VAERS as the system of record for adverse events, but yet there is no information that ever gets passed down. Okay, they've looked at VAERS and this many deaths occurred because of this, and this many people had underlying causes. You never hear anybody publish any kind of paper from the CDC, from the NIH, that gives us feedback as to the type of trends they were seeing. And so very concerning. I reached out, tried to get the information from Army Public Health Command. And as you heard in my whistleblower complaint that, you know, even they said they were not tracking adverse events. So I wrote to the CDC and I asked them for all the adverse events that had been input into VAERS that were identified as service members. So they responded to me and actually produced a document for me in which they had identified that there were over 8,853 adverse events in which the person to which the adverse event occurred was identified as a service member. And then of that 8,853, 885 of those were identified as serious, debilitating, or deadly. So then that was concerning. And then the other thing I did was when I was getting my master's in public health as part of my training, I was required to do a research project for a year. And during that research project, I used the Defense Medical Epidemiology Database, which essentially allows physicians to trend ICD codes across the DoD. So an ICD code is specific to, let's say, migraines. You might have a certain ICD code, and you could go into DMED and you could go back all the way to 1990 and look and see how frequently that code had been put into DMED or put into our computer systems by a healthcare provider and see the trends. Well, I started seeing very unusual things that are not normal in a young, healthy population. And so as I saw those things, I would start checking with DMED to see, is this just happening on my post or is this happening across the DoD? And the numbers were just catastrophic. And when we raised that concern to Senator Johnson, you know, the only response was given through PolitiFact, which never in all my time in the service have I ever, you know, have we ever used PolitiFact as a means of communication about, especially about safety issues.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to ask to give your opinion on this, but I'll give mine. That's because they're trying to hide this. They're running from this. So what kinds of conditions were you seeing this uptick in, and how did you relate it to this non-vaccine, vaccine, poisonous bioweapon jab?
Well, I went back to 2016 because that's when ICDs changed from the ICD-9 codes to the ICD-10 codes. So I wanted to be able to compare apples to apples.
Right.
So, for example, pulmonary embolisms. So I put in pulmonary embolisms, went back to 2016 and looked at the numbers, were very consistent from 2016 to 2020. I believe there are around 700, 800 a year. And then you come to 2021 and it skyrockets. It's 3-4 times the number it's ever been. And pulmonary embolisms, strokes, heart attacks, neurodegenerative diseases, multiple sclerosis, infertility, thyroid dysfunction, those are all off the charts.
And how would your detractors take that and discount it? What would they say? Well, she didn't do X, Y, or Z.
Well, they would say, oh, how do you know it's not from asymptomatic COVID? This is the argument I get. You have to look at what has gone on, what has been introduced into the system. And then what I did is I looked at the biodistribution study, Pfizer's biodistribution study, which showed that the messenger RNA was not staying in the muscle like they told us it would. It was in fact concentrating in the brain, the lung, the liver, the heart, the spleen, the bone marrow, the ovaries, the testes, the pituitary, the thyroid. And so, yes, previously I would have said it was crazy if someone told me that a vaccine injury was a brain tumor or a testicular cancer or something. But when you look at the spike protein being the pathogenic portion of the coronavirus, and then it concentrating in these vital organs and producing messenger RNA, then you can understand how this is occurring. And I would throw it back on them. If they're wrong and I'm right, it's absolutely catastrophic for our military. If I'm wrong and they're right, okay.
So,
but that's a hell of a gamble.
The shots are something that we can get rid of. COVID, at this point, we have to figure out how it originated and exactly how people are catching it, which is something that we're going to talk to a lot of experts about now that we have realized that this is a bioweapon, that this shot is intentionally designed, in my opinion, to maim and incapacitate and handicap and kill people. That's what I think is going on here, and we'll get to the bottom of it eventually because we seek the truth. But what are people doing now? They've tried to shut you up after you have been subpoenaed to testify to your findings.
Right, and it was interesting that in the court case, DOJ attorney handed me a document, which was like a 3-page Word document that was supposedly their investigation into the DMED data. Now I've been in the Army for 30 years. I've never seen an investigation in which no one will put their name on it. It doesn't tell you who investigated. It isn't signed by anybody. There's no seals, no departments attached to it. It's just a Word document in which people said, we investigated it. It was a computer migration issue. There was a glitch. The glitch only occurred in, it just so happened to only occur in the months that I pulled data. And it just so happened to only occur and affect ICD codes that I looked at. That's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
And by the way, the database, the DMED is actually an application, from the Defense Medical Surveillance System. But the contractor that runs that database should be answering for this because, you know, it's either incompetence that some, you know, lieutenant colonel peon finds this huge problem and the data is so far off when there's an entire division that's supposed to be overseeing this. Or the data is accurate. And as you may know, Stu, that clinical research was conducted on the DOD for these vaccines for Pfizer. I believe the clinical study number was C451011. So when you see that in these Pfizer documents, they're talking about the DoD. And this is alarming, because if you're doing a study to see if something's safe and you roll out the vaccine at the same time, well, when they get to the end of the 30-month trial and figure out it's not safe, what good is that going to do us? We've already mandated that everyone take the vaccine.
So when you realized and correlated the dangers and the side effects and the injuries to what you suspect to be these injections, what action did you take?
Oh, I've emailed senior medical leaders. I've talked to them. I've gone to everyone that I felt could affect change and give me answers. And, you know, the answer is, you know, the narrative is the vaccines are safe and effective and everyone's getting the vaccine.
There was a story I remember being outside. Somebody called me and said, did you see this? This flight surgeon just grounded or recommended grounding all of these pilots. Did you see this? Is that what happened? Was that you? Did you do that?
I gave a sworn affidavit in the Robert B. Austin case. And actually, I arrived at those conclusions after speaking to a senior federal air surgeon cardiologist who agreed with my entire assessment of the safety risk this was posing. And that because the CDC had already come out and said there was an increased risk in myocarditis, and this increased risk would specifically impact my population, and that we really had to pump the brakes. Unfortunately, that person did not want to go public, but completely supported everything I said.
And did they intimidate or threaten you? Did they try to shut you up via a gag order or anything like that? You can't talk to the media. You can't go public with these findings.
Actually, the affidavit was released without my permission, and in draft form, by someone I don't know, and so I took a lot of heat because it ended up in that public forum. But you know, I thought honestly when I wrote it that it would be read by a bunch of attorneys and a judge somewhere in a courtroom, and that was the only people that would ever see it.
We reported on a story about a Delta Airlines pilot that died at the controls of an aircraft. Delta Airlines came out and said, no, that's just inherently false. They actually texted me from their public relations department and asked me to be quiet about it. And I said, well, if that's not the case, if that didn't happen, then what happened? They didn't have an answer for me. It was crickets. And then all of a sudden, USA Today, Rolling Stone, Newsweek, all of these fact checkers came out. Stu Peters is a liar. This injected pilot did not die. But we now know that he did. And so then Cody Flint, another pilot, came on this program whom I've interviewed and said that hundreds of pilots are having these issues and that dozens of pilots have died at the controls of aircrafts, but yet the media and everybody else is denying it, suppressing the stories, covering it up. Now we have Josh Yoder with U.S. Freedom Flyers coming on and Captain Snow himself, American Airlines Airbus captain, coming out and saying, yeah, my heart stopped 6 minutes after landing. 7 minutes earlier, he would have been on final with 200 souls on board of an Airbus, and that would have ended tragically. 200 people would have died. I mean, there's just no question about that, that when a plane hits the ground when it's not supposed to, people die. Are you concerned that this is going to just continue to uptick even more and more? Do you consider this to be an imminent, immediate danger to the flying public?
I'm greatly concerned. I will tell you, when I testified to Senator Johnson, I spoke of having to ground 3 out of 3 pilots. And I talked about how 2 of them had pericarditis and were subsequently being worked up for myocarditis. And I really caught a lot of flack for this. And I came back and I was told, you know, you were wrong. They didn't have that. And one of the pilots more or less stuck with me and went with my treatment plan and went back down from that. And he had a negative echo, EKG, and stress test. But he was a very fit guy who could no longer run, could not do what he used to do. And he was a very a strong person. And all of a sudden he's telling me, I can't even walk to the mailbox anymore. I can't do these things I normally did. So I really held my ground and demanded that the cardiologist do a cardiac MRI on him. And I was told it's a waste of time. You know, you're crazy. It doesn't need to be done. And I said, I'm not putting him back in a helicopter until he has a cardiac MRI. He had that cardiac MRI done. And at that point, it was six months after I testified before Senator Johnson. And the cardiac MRI came back with global edema of the heart with several areas of scarring. And so confirmed myocarditis 6 months later. And the implications of this, most physicians have never taken care of myocarditis. They've never worked up a case of myocarditis, and they've never treated a case of myocarditis. And that's the truth. And so, you know, we have all of these other pilots and these other people who have undergone that same echo stress test, EKG. It's normal, nothing to worry about. But how many are actually getting cardiac MRIs? How many doctors are truly listening when they have a young 24-year-old who is telling them, I can't do what I used to do. Something is terribly wrong. Because I think people get blinded. Remember, the same doctors and the same people that recommended to everyone that it was safe and effective are the same people that have to go back and work up these injuries. And, you know, I think a lot of them can't accept that these vaccines are in fact causing injury. And I hope that is not skewing that people's medical care and their workups, but I have to think it is.
Yeah, that you raise a really good point there. And that kind of leads me to a question that I was just thinking of as you were saying that. What about the families of these pilots or of these soldiers who are experiencing these things? Are they too having some sort of a block, or where are they? Why aren't they coming forward? Because we know that these injuries are happening. We know that they're reporting these things to doctors, they're reporting them to you. And you've looked at the DMED data. So why aren't they all blowing the whistle and speaking out? How are they keeping these people quiet?
Well, I would tell you that since that was put out publicly, that document of mine, my phone has not. I mean, there isn't a day that goes by that I don't get a text message, a phone call, or an email message from somebody across the DOD and civilians who reach out to me and say, you know, I have heart problems. My son is diagnosed with myocarditis. It's been 6 months. You know, I've had to move in and take care of him. When's this going to get better? And I know that if I'm getting this level of feedback, I know people have to know, they have to see this going on. And the problem is, as a healthcare provider, as a physician, how do you go back to tell your patients and your family members that you recommended the vaccine to? How do you go back and tell them, oops, it's not safe. I'm seeing heart problems. I'm seeing cancer. I'm seeing thyroid. Like how did they ever say that without fear of losing all credibility, of being sued? And that's the position we're in. And when you look out there, you have the DMED data, you have the military VAERS, the VAERS on service members, you have the national VAERS, and then you have life insurance companies coming out with the increased morbidity and mortality. They all overlap. So, you know, I'm not formulating my opinions off of a single point of data. I'm taking what I'm seeing and then moving out from there and finding very disturbing trends. And I think it was best said in one of my immunology teachers said to me, you know, when I was graduating from medical school, he said, Dr. Long, you were so hard for your degree. He said, you know, when a new sexy drug comes out on the market, don't touch it. He said, it takes us about 5 years to figure out that the drug is causing harm. So don't touch the new stuff that comes on the market. Wait 5 years. If it hasn't been pulled off the market, you could consider prescribing it, but be cautious. And he said, let everyone else ruin their reputation and their name, but stick to the tried and true medication until there's enough data there. And that is really what I applied in this situation. Is you, there is no way you can tell me what the pregnancy implications, the fertility implications, cancer risk, all these things. You cannot tell me that with 2 to 3 months of clinical trials. And then right out the bat, if you remember, almost immediately we saw signs going up everywhere saying myth, COVID vaccine causes infertility. And I remember thinking, there's no way they can make that statement. None. They don't. It takes me a year to diagnose a woman as infertile. How could they know with 2 to 3 months of data?
So you're convinced that these pilots are definitely going to be a danger. I mean, that's kind of goes without saying. I mean, look, we're seeing this happen. Snow could have killed. I mean, Snow's situation could have killed 200 people just the other day.
Absolutely. So and I think the scary part about it is that even the research shows, the thing about myocarditis is that it isn't a simple test. It isn't a simple EKG to know that the person's going to be safe. And that is what is concerning, is that most pilots are not going to get a cardiac MRI. Most pilots are not going to have this really invasive workup to make sure that they haven't suffered any kind of damage.
And the people who are, the pilots who are feeling pain or having some sort of symptoms that are going in there, a lot of them are losing their flight medicals. And so what people have to understand here is that now other pilots watch that happen and they watch pilots, and you don't just go decide to be a pilot someday. I mean, there's a lot of work. Our audience is brilliant. They know that goes into this. This is a commitment of a lifetime, the training and the schooling and all that. And so they get to this point where now they're flying or they're the captain and they're working for a major air carrier. And they're watching their colleagues that are losing their flight medicals that have been inoculated with this bioweapon injection. And now they're saying to themselves, I am having chest pains. I am having migraines. I am having shortness of breath. I am feeling lethargic. I am feeling tired. I have also been inoculated, and I'm associating with that because I only know my body. Nobody else does. But I'm not going to go, and I'm not going to go see a doctor because I fear losing my career and my flight medical. And then what am I going to do? How am I going to provide?
And so that's exactly right. I mean, we notoriously call pilots reverse malingerers. These are people, you know, you've seen Monty Python's Quest for the Holy Grail, where he says it's just a flesh wound, right? We laugh. That's our pilots. Yeah. Pilots will be deathly ill and they won't come in and tell you because they love to fly. They want to fly. They don't want to be away from work. They don't want to be grounded. And so even prior to COVID, we had to work hard, and that's why there's a whole specialty in aerospace medicine just dedicated to keeping pilots safe in the aviation environment. And so here we have them. And yes, if they come forward and they say, I'm having chest pain, they know that they may lose their livelihood.
So what do you say to these pilots? Where do you draw the line with these pilots where it's like, okay, yeah, I understand that you're fearful of losing your career, but what about hundreds of people on board losing their lives, kids, innocent children, business people traveling, families coming back from vacation, people going to see their loved ones? I mean, these people's lives are at imminent risk because this pilot is choosing to ignore his physical symptoms because he wants to save his career. What do you say to those people?
I've had this conversation many times, and I've listened to a lot of grown men and women cry. Because they realize that they were forced into this impossible situation in which if you don't get vaccinated, you lose your job. And if you get vaccinated, you may very well lose your health and your job. And they carry a tremendous responsibility. These are professionals, and they take very seriously that they are carrying passengers with them. And I have had a number of pilots come forward and say, I know I'm going to kill somebody and I need help, and ask me, you know, where they can get help. And this is a position that they should have never been put in. And I've always argued, even if they wanted to roll the vaccine out to everyone, aerospace medicine should have held the line and said, you will not vaccinate our pilots. No way, right? We have longstanding rules and regulations that protect this population because they have such a tremendous responsibility of you know, flying these people. And so, and we violated that and said, you know, okay, yeah, it's a experimental new drug. Let's give it a shot. And I tell people the difference between a vaccine and a normal drug. If you take penicillin and you have a bad reaction to it, you just wait 5 half-lives and it's out of your system.
Yeah.
They can't get this out of their system. And so this is, this really boils my blood, and I'm probably never going to stop fighting this because it is wrong. It's wrong that people like Cody have lost his entire livelihood. Why? He didn't do anything wrong. He thought he was doing his part to protect people and he lost his livelihood. And who's paying his bills? Who's feeding his family now? The same people that told him it was safe and effective? The pharmaceutical companies are making $97 million a day. And people really believe that that kind of money does not corrupt. They really believe that with that kind of money, you can't silence people. You can't buy the truth. You can't create the truth.
Yeah. I mean, they fund 70% of some of the major news networks' budget annually. That should be a conflict of interest.
Well, When you look at, I believe it's the Marines have now already put out over 1,000 soldiers. And we're like, where are the variants? Nobody's wearing masks, anything. And yet, you know, the DOD will push forward with purging out soldiers.
If the DOD and if Biden and Lloyd Austin and General Milley and these people are evil enough to know that this is happening and still continue to push it, what will they do to you? Do you fear being arrested?
We're in crazy times, and yes, I've considered that's possible, but I'm not going to bend a knee to tyranny.
Good.
And I'm not going to back down. I have pilots that are depending on me to advocate for them.
That's right.
And my job is not only to keep them safe so they can do a job. My job is to keep them safe because they're a human being and I'm a physician and I've taken an oath to that. I've taken 2 oaths. I've taken an oath to the Constitution. I've taken the Hippocratic Oath, and I take them very seriously. So, you know, I have a lot of people praying for me and I can only tell you that I think that's the only way we win here, because what we're up against is huge. But I think that, and I talked to Bob Snow, and what happened to him was horrible. And, you know, he probably will never be able to teach his daughter how to fly. And, you know, we took that from him. And it's not enough. It is not enough to disagree with this. You have to stand up. And when you entertain foolishness, you lose your credibility.
Thank you. Yes, that's right. And furthermore, just so everybody knows, YouTube, to nobody's surprise, has removed Captain Snow's video of when he was describing what happened to him. They completely removed it. They are blatantly overreaching and silencing people who are begging for the opportunity to speak out and give their testimony of their own personal experiences. And they are silencing them in the name of these 90 some million dollars a day that you're talking about. And as for the Peters family, we pray for you, Lieutenant Colonel Teresa Long.
Thank you.
And now you will have millions more of the Stu Peters Show family praying for you as well. Thank you, seriously, from the bottom of my heart, for upholding your oath, both Hippocratic and constitutional. We appreciate it. God bless you.
Yeah, one more thing,
please.
Stu.
Yes.
If I can say, right? I just want to tell your audience, right, to seek wisdom, pursue truth, hold the line, right? Burn the ships, We got to move forward. There's no letting up on this, right? They're going to come to vaccinate your children, and this isn't going to stop. It's not going to stop with me or Stu. This is going to be unrelenting. But, you know, your autonomy, you have God-given rights, and they didn't come from the government. They came from God. So...
That's right. And no single man is going to come in and make them stop. No single man's going to ride in on a white horse, and there is no magical plan that's going to stop this. We, the people, have to rise up and stop this right now. You have inalienable God-given rights, just as Lieutenant Colonel Theresa Long just said, as we have been teaching on this program, and there is a remedy for this, and it's we, the people. Thank you again so much for being here. God bless you.